This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Right on. How's the sound? All right. Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Tuesday, February 26, 2019 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And a wild and dystopic ride it is. It's interesting. You know, it's still Black History Month, so-called, and I say that because it's really not, you know, history is, well, you know, as the cliche goes, it would be a wonderful thing if only it were true and real. And in this society, seeing alterations, particularly over the course of the 20th century into the 21st, in accordance with the agenda of a specific little coterie of individuals. We'll talk more about that. What Prince had to say, how CRISPR-Cas9 technology is working right in accordance with those sorts of conspiratorial elements and much more. But first, did you catch 60 Minutes over the weekend? It's pretty interesting. There was this piece. Listen to this. We'll talk more about this. But first, the video. Go ahead, please.
We have reported on the causes and effects of the opioid epidemic for several years, interviewing government whistleblowers, doctors, and Americans who've grown dependent on the powerful pain pills. We have not had a high-ranking executive from the pharmaceutical industry sit before our cameras until now. Tonight, Ed Thompson, a drug manufacturer who spent decades managing and producing opioids for Big Pharma, breaks ranks to denounce his industry and its federal regulator, the Food and Drug Administration, which he says opened the floodgates on the crisis with a few little changes to a label.
The story will continue in a moment.
The root cause of this epidemic is the FDA's illegal approval of opioids for the treatment of chronic pain.
The FDA ignited this opioid crisis.
Without question, they start the fire.
Ed Thompson told us when the top-selling opioid OxyContin was first approved in 1995, it was based on science that only showed it safe and effective when used short-term. But in 2001, pressured by Big Pharma and pain sufferers, the FDA made a fateful decision and, with no new science to back it up, expanded the use of OxyContin to just about anyone with chronic ailments, like arthritis and back pain.
So this is what a package insert looks like.
The FDA did it by simply changing a few words on the label, that lengthy insert no one ever reads. Today, the label says, the powerful pain pills are effective for daily, around-the-clock, long-term treatment. And that small label change made a big change in the way drug companies would market all opioids, allowing them to sell more and more pills at higher and higher doses.
A drug's label is the single most important document for that product. It determines whether somebody can make $10 million or $1 billion.
How so?
Because it allows you to then promote the drug based on the labeling.
Ed Thompson owns PMRS, a successful Pennsylvania pharmaceutical company that manufactures drugs for Big Pharma. It's made him a rich man. But now he's putting his livelihood at risk. He's doing what no other drug maker has ever done. He's suing the FDA in federal court to force it to follow the science and limit the opioid label to short-term use. Thompson is challenging the FDA to start with his newest opioid. It's Thompson's creative way to sabotage the system. He may lose money rolling out his new drug, but if he is successful, it would set a precedent,
Other manufacturers would be forced to change their labels and limit their marketing. A decision going in your direction could pull down a multi-billion dollar industry.
Correct. Probably somewhere between $7 and $10 billion a year would come off the market. We made a decision to stop selling snake oil to U.S. citizens in 1962.
Snake oil?
Yes, sir. You're using high-dose, long-duration opioids when they've never been designed to do that. There's no evidence that they're effective. There's extreme evidence of harms and deaths when you use them.
Brandeis professor Dr. Andrew Kolodny is one of the country's most recognized addiction specialists and has been an expert witness in litigation against Big Pharma, including Purdue, the maker of OxyContin. He has been trying to get the FDA label changed since 2011 to make clear opioids are not for everyone.
These are essential medicines for easing suffering at the end of life and when used for a couple of days after major surgery or a serious accident. If you're taking them around the clock every day, quickly you become tolerant to the pain-relieving effect. In order to continue getting pain relief, you'll need higher and higher doses. As the doses get higher, the treatment becomes more dangerous and the risk of death goes up.
And that sounds exactly like heroin addiction.
It's essentially the same drug.
To understand how this began, we traveled to this small courthouse in Welch, West Virginia, where we uncovered the minutes of secret meetings in 2001 between Purdue Pharma and the FDA. The files were part of the state's lawsuit against Purdue for deceitful marketing. 60 Minutes got a court order to obtain these documents. They reveal it was at those secret meetings the FDA bowed to Purdue Pharma's demands to ignore the lack of scientific data and change the label to, quote, around the clock for an extended period of time.
I can't think of anything more harmful that took place then. It opened the floodgates. It was the decision of no return for the FDA.
Purdue told us OxyContin always was approved for long-term use, but an internal document shows the company was jubilant about the labeling change. Quote, the action by the FDA has created enormous opportunities to expand the market. The drug company's ads soon extolled the virtues of OxyContin's effectiveness, and sales tripled.
It was a marketing tsunami, and the agency didn't catch it.
Think about it.
60 Minutes has called on former FDA Commissioner David Kessler many times for his expertise on drug safety issues. He ran the FDA in the 1990s when OxyContin was first approved, but he left before the labeling change. Today, he's been retained by cities and counties suing Big Pharma for the opioid crisis. After reviewing the documents we obtained and checking on his own, he says changing the label to long-term use was a mistake.
There are no studies on the safety or efficacy of opioids for long-term use.
But there's a law that says that a drug cannot be promoted as safe and effective unless it's proven to be safe and effective. But yet, with FDA sanction, these opioids are being used in that way that you say have not been proven.
That's correct. The rigorous kind of scientific evidence that the agency should be relying on is not there.
The label change was a blank check, one the drug industry cashed in for billions and billions of dollars. Now, Big Pharma had a green light to push opioids to tens of millions of new pain patients nationwide.
Let me remind you of some of the words that you have used to describe the pharmaceutical industry, your industry.
Yeah.
Corrupt?
Yeah.
Immoral?
Yes.
Depraved?
Yes. They're appropriate for the behavior that's taken place.
You are a drug executive. You manufacture drugs.
Many drugs.
Are you at fault in this epidemic in any way?
I wish I was smart enough to have seen this epidemic before I got 3 or 4 years into it. Absolutely. But once you find out that it's not correct, you have to do the right thing. Is there anything more important?
My son wanted to fight for his country. His country failed him.
If there is one victim who confirmed for Ed Thompson that turning on his industry was the right thing to do, it was Emily Walden, who would become an unlikely ally. Thompson manufactured an opioid, oxymorphone, the same drug that took the life of Walden's son, TJ, a private in the Kentucky National Guard.
He was getting ready to be deployed to Africa, and a few weeks prior to that, he went on a camping trip with a group of friends, and a police officer knocked on my door the next morning, telling me that he had passed away.
TJ had grown addicted to the drug and was easily able to get it without a prescription. Walden went to Washington, D.C. to ask the FDA why her community was being flooded with pain pills. It was there she met Ed Thompson.
What did you say to him?
You manufactured the drug that killed my son.
He is now on your side.
Yes.
That just seems like an odd connection.
It is. But Ed might be my only hope in getting this fixed. The FDA's responsibility is public health and the safety of drugs. And they're not doing their job. They haven't been doing their job for 20 years.
Dr. Andrew Kolodny agrees. The Brandeis addiction specialist began his own investigation into why the FDA would approve the long-term use of opioids when there was no credible science to back it up.
What did you find?
We found out that a group of experts and FDA and pharmaceutical companies were having private meetings. And at these meetings, changing the rules for how opioids get approved.
He filed Freedom of Information Act requests in email after email between the FDA, Big Pharma, and consultants. He learned of closed-door meetings at luxury hotels like this Four Seasons in Washington, D.C., where for $35,000 apiece, drug makers paid consultants to, quote, sit at a small table with the FDA, hobnobbing with the regulators. Emails show one participant worrying it might be seen as pay-to-play.
They had drugs in their pipeline, pain medicines that they wanted approved, and through these meetings they were able to get those products on the market.
That sounds unethical.
It is unethical.
If not illegal.
If it's not illegal, it should be illegal.
Equally suspicious, but legal, the large number of key FDA regulators who went through the revolving door to jobs with drug manufacturers. The two medical officers who originally approved OxyContin, Curtis Wright and Douglas Kramer, went to work for the opioid maker Purdue Pharma not long after leaving the FDA.
The culture at FDA continues to be much too cozy with the industry it's supposed to be regulating.
The agency bills drug companies more than $800 million a year in fees and depends on that industry money to pay the salaries of staffers who not only change the opioid label, but also review new drugs like Dysuvia, the most powerful opioid pill ever approved. Just a few weeks ago, the FDA approved a new opioid that is 1,000 times more powerful than morphine. And this is in the middle of this opioid epidemic. How is that possible?
I don't get it. I get your question. I don't get the agency's action.
Isn't the FDA supposed to be our watchdogs to protect us?
How many people do you think were working in a division that oversaw promotion when this epidemic started to occur?
I have no idea.
Five.
When I'm looking at the carnage in American towns and cities, that just doesn't seem like a good excuse to me.
It's not an excuse. It's the reality.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel.
You have a system of pharmaceutical promotion that changed the way medicine practiced, and no one, right, stopped it.
Current FDA Commissioner Dr. Scott Gottlieb declined our request for an interview, but in a statement said, the FDA has taken aggressive steps to confront the crisis, but he admitted many mistakes were made along the way. While the agency followed the law in approving and regulating opioids, we at the FDA include ourselves among those who should have acted sooner.
But you say they have to do things to fix the label. The label has been in place since 2001. I'm not a scientist, but that doesn't seem like that's that hard to do.
And it needs to be done.
We got a real problem here.
Ed Thompson isn't waiting. He has now joined a growing movement of doctors, lawyers, and patient activists who want Big Pharma to kick its addiction to opioid profits. That's why he made the decision to take on his industry and the FDA.
If you succeed, you could pull down a multi-billion dollar industry.
And if I fail, you're going to have ever-increasing deaths every day as well. That's a pretty good decision, isn't it?
Pretty shocking stuff, you know. So 60 Minutes over the weekend published the latest in a series. And this has been an ongoing series. The fourth look in a series of reports Bill Whitaker obviously interviewed some folks, and pretty shocking stuff, I would say. There's obviously more to the story, but you wonder, listening to this, how this continues. And rhetorically, I ask, but I mean, this is the crazy upside down and backwards world we live in. At one point, I mean, among the other shocking things that you heard, it is textbook C. Wright Mills power elite, a group of experts, quote unquote. And, you know, I think of technocrat, Milgram experiment, white coats, and FDA officials and pharmaceutical company representatives have cozy little closed door meetings at fancy hotels, and everyone's paid thousands upon thousands of dollars to be there. Just obscene amounts of money, cash being thrown at people. And why, you know, that, again, this is really what kind of how it all works. And then somewhere in there is the assuaging of the troubled conscience with folks saying, well, you know, it's not illegal technically, so it must be okay, which reminds me, we've talked about the Waffle Street, sort of the opening monologue there. What we do is legal, therefore it's not unethical. If it was unethical, it would be illegal. It's that kind of thing, you know. So we should pass a law to close every loophole, and, you know, it's ridiculous. You can't, as we've discussed on this broadcast before, obviously, you can't effectively legislate morality. In fact, that's backwards. People will gravitate this direction. Invariably, that's what history shows. So what works better is when you take the training wheels off and you let people learn the lessons of life for themselves. But obviously, in this technocratic Fabian socialist witch's brew that we find ourselves in these days, we see the opposite. And it's just shocking. I mean, this really sort of punctuated the last week or week and a half, maybe 2 weeks of talking about health issues. And so, again, I come back to the fact that Tony Cartolucci was tweeting recently about why on earth would anyone let companies who do this kind of thing why would you presume, why would a person presume that a company that operates this way with no, obviously no conscience, it's a corporation, why would you expect them to safeguard and protect your health? And the FDA, same thing. You know, again, I say over and over and over, and it's a rhetorical point. It shouldn't even have to be made, but in today's America, apparently it does. No one has a greater responsibility or fiduciary obligation to your health, to my health, than you have to yourself, or I have to myself. And this is something that, again, through the Milgram experiment / ash conformity experiments has all but been done away with in the American mind. Well, you know, the FDA says a lot of things. FCC says a lot of things. Doesn't mean it's healthy. You know, there are millions and millions of dollars that are paid to try to get things done, to grease the wheels of commerce. And, you know, that's the sad reality. It's unfortunately not surprising. But here we are. And so Bastier was right, wasn't he? Stick around. More right after this break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. Almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
Welcome back. Now that we're kind of rocking and rolling, phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. So, you know, it really is kind of like textbook Power Elite stuff, exactly like C. Wright Mills wrote in the Power Elite back in 1956, speaking of these books that were all kind of coming out in the, I guess, the birth of the, I don't know, technocratic monolith, the formal institutionalization of the administrative fourth branch, and, you know, technocracy is essential in the administrative branch because it's all about the administration of government. It's so crazy what's gone on in this country and the names of people that no one knows. You know, William James is considered one of two fathers of modern psychology, and scant few people know who he is. Bad guys know who William James is, because not only was he kind of the co-father of modern psychology, but also the birth of the administrative state. You know, he was an instrumental figure through what was at the time the Institute of Government Research, or Institute for Government Research. He wrote thousands of pages of documentation, went down to Puerto Rico for a period of about 10 years and created the, it was, Puerto Rico was sort of a test case for what became the administrative fourth branch here. Who's ever heard of it? Who's ever heard of William James? And, you know, so we have these kinds of things. Same thing with C. Wright Mills, writing essentially about this institution that was created. And C. Wright Mills wrote some other interesting stuff. But, you know, he talks about the Power Elite, the eponymous book, Power Elite, those who, according to Mills, occupy dominant positions in dominant institutions, military, economic, and political, and, you know, academia also, of a dominant country, and their decisions, or lack thereof, have enormous consequences, not only for our country and population, but the underlying populations of the world, quote-unquote. And Mills posited a triumvirate of groups have succeeded weaker predecessors. It's what I always talk about, the Highlander sort of thing. You know, you watch Demolition Man. Isn't that the one that I always can't remember? Where Taco Bell has subsumed all other companies with their funny little weird Eyes Wide Shut and Illuminati commercials now. It's so funny. It's hilarious when you, you know, make disgusting, you know, druidic commercials about well, unmentionables, I suppose. I just don't understand. I don't know. Maybe it's not supposed to be humorous, but the mockery, kind of flaunting esoteric bad guy nonsense in people's faces. So Mills posited a triumvirate of groups have succeeded weaker predecessors, which again is like the Highlander concept. There can be only one, you know. Christopher Lambert saying there can be only one, that kind of thing. Subsuming other companies, and that's what's been happening. We see it in the media and virtually every industry, technology, et cetera, et cetera. So he wrote, 200 or 300 giant corporations which have replaced the traditional agrarian and craft economy. A strong federal political order that has inherited power from a decentralized set of several dozen states and now enters into each and every cranny of the social structure. And the military establishment, formerly an object of distrust fed by state militia, but now an entity with all the grim and clumsy efficiency of a sprawling bureaucratic domain. And, you know, when you think about it, that last one in particular, and that's exactly what's, I mean, all the more so today, the 200 or 300 giant corporations has been whittled down to perhaps a tenth of that, a fraction certainly. A strong federal political order, people are not even concerned with their local government, certainly not to the extent they should be. They should be more concerned locally so that the federal is allowed to atrophy and wane a little bit. That decentralized set of several dozen states that C. Wright Mills talks about. But the military establishment, when you think about what has happened, because again, you know, you go back to Anthony Sutton's work in particular, perhaps, and the fomenting of a contrived arms race and, you know, a specious Cold War. What has ensued as a result is essentially the military-industrial complexification of the entire world. Everyone's been brought into this mantra everywhere. Every country, you know, whether you're buying arms through NATO proxies or Soviet proxies, everyone is drawn into this military-industrial complexification sort of mindset. And that's a recipe for imminent disaster. You know, I guess in simplest terms, it's the danger is live by the sword, die by the sword. It's completely antithetical and entirely antithetical to the warnings and to the admonitions and exhortations that we've had from our own history. And again, I mean, this goes without saying, but it's as though we have forgotten. I feel like the Westerns that sort of all, you know, the frontiersmen and, you know, all the way through the 19th century, all of those movies that romanticized the 19th century in particular seem to occlude and obscure the prior history that we should be as focused on, if not more, than any other period. And particularly the documentation that John Adams mentioned in his letter to Hezekiah Niles back in 1818, so that we can retain those lessons of history. But we're being driven mad, you know, the old expression, whom the gods would destroy, they first make mad. Being driven mad. And the militarism and hysteria, the ensuing hysteria and paranoia is an essential element in that madness. So back to the CBS piece that we heard, that was, there are a couple of articles published over at CBS in conjunction with this piece that we, the clip that we played, the segment that they aired, and the two articles I'm aware of, the first, did the FDA ignite the opioid epidemic? Subtitle, a drug manufacturer denounces his own industry and explains to 60 Minutes how a label change by the FDA expanded the use of opioids. But the other headline, the opioid epidemic, who is to blame? Doctors, distributors, drug lobbyists, the FDA, who is responsible for the scourge of opioid addiction? 60 Minutes has spent 2 years investigating. And, you know, it's a combination of forces, obviously. And again, this gets back to, I think, one of the biggest dangers. I mean, it's a great story, and there's a reason that, you know, we played the clip. Obviously, there's more to the story. We can talk about that if you're interested. Again, the phone lines are open. But what is, I think the danger is that we have been drawn into this sort of limited liability mindset in America where we are generally, you know, the idea that people are held accountable and responsible for things is a sort of nostalgic concept almost. You know, you think back to the SNL scandal from a few decades ago, people went to prison for that. You know, Michael Milken himself, but now he's a media darling and a philanthropist, which is ridiculous. You know, it's absurd. It's utterly absurd, you know. When Bernie made off with the cash, how much time did he spend in prison? How many folks spent time in prison for the subprime contagion? Who created the regulatory environment that fostered predatory lending? You know, the street level originator was held responsible, basically, and a whistleblower was thrown in prison. But no one who helped create the regulatory environment that allowed a prolific predatory lending environment to blossom was prosecuted or spend any time in prison. And that just seems to be what's going on. So we have a responsibility to ourselves and to our posterity, to our children, first and foremost. And we're not doing a good enough job at home, generally speaking, of safeguarding our families from this kind of nonsense. And the breaking up of families over the past several decades obviously plays into that. The rise of the nanny state to a predominant status, or, you know, would be anyway, obviously plays into that. People believing, and it's a very subtle thing. There are a lot of subtleties and nuances to this, I think, that even the most aware of us sometimes fail to fully recognize. And I think that's kind of the danger that we face here. Let's go to the phones and grab Ed in Florida. Ed, thanks for calling. Welcome.
I just like to change the subject, if I could, for a few moments. Tomorrow, the Congress is going to vote whether or not House Resolution 8, which is nothing more than a gun registration law, will pass. So far, they do have enough votes, along with Democrats and traitors Republicans. And it's nothing more than just a prelude to gun control. If you look at it, it starts off with registration, eventually background checks, which we already have. But if you do not, if even with a verbal FBI background check, if there's something wrong with it, you can wait a minimum 2 weeks before they get back to you. And it just goes on. And I was looking up Gun Control Act since 1968, through up to 1999. After that, I kind of gave up. There are 13 major laws in 20 years, starting with the 1968 Gun Control Act by Senator Keller. And it seems the same names keep popping up over and over again. Metzenbaum, when it goes to the 1988 Senate Bill 2180 to ban and restrict all plastic guns. Then it goes, and one which I can't believe was the 1994 legislation for the School Safety Act, which was voted unconstitutional, but they brought it back in again in 1995, and it just goes on. I mean, the same people, Barbara Boxer, Levy is her real name, Dianne Feinstein, Chucky Schumer, it's the same tribe that wants to take our weapons away from us. And I don't care what anyone says, call me anti-Semitic, facts are facts. Look up gun control legislation and the people behind them. It's the same people who have dual citizenship with Israel. It just sickens me to think that most Americans are still asleep on the subject of gun control. This is not gun registration. This is gun control and eventually gun confiscation. I personally will not comply. I will not comply. I believe in the Second Amendment, and none of these bills, starting from 68, when you take a look at them, they go against our Second Amendment and the Constitution, but nobody says anything. Like, a few people who do, they're just willing to just roll over and let things go because they don't want to make any waves. I mean, this upcoming bill tomorrow is very important, people. Get out there and call your congressman and tell them to vote no. If you're a gun owner, also private sales here in Florida, which is legal, that will be illegal. I couldn't even give my gun to my sons if I chose to if this bill is enacted. And plus, there's a harsher bill in the Senate, which Chucky Schumer, again, with the help of traitorous Republicans, will pass. Now, I can only imagine what's going to happen once we get a Democrat back in office. If we have a Republican in the White House who will sign anything that's put in front of him, and a Senate who's willing to go along to get along, what chances do we have in 2020 or 2024? I don't want to be like England. I don't want to be like Soviet Russia. I don't want to be like Nazi Germany or Pol Pot in Cambodia back in the 70s because, you know, as crazy as it sounds, I can only go by history. And history has proven that registration leads to gun confiscation. After that, certain people who are deemed, you know, not part of a particular plan, or, you know, they disappear. They do.
Right.
I mean, look how many people died under Pol Pot. Millions.
Well, we've been talking about that, and that's, and you know, over I mean, last year I did that Death Cult Ideology series around the same time this year. And we've been sort of, I don't know, dabbling in the same subject matter a little bit this year about how it's just uncanny, you know, the sort of confluence of talking points. It seems like you can't have the discussion of technocracy and then you lean into eugenics a little bit because certain people aren't efficient enough. And then from there, it's this eliminationism, as Daniel Goldhagen calls it. And like you're saying, you know, if we could just get rid of a few, these people all become undesirables. And, you know, so if we could just get rid of them, then life would be so much better. And disarming people is obviously an instrumental step in that. So,
yeah, but like, see, are you disarming the wrong people, though? I mean, why?
Absolutely. Exactly. Yeah. If you feel inclined, stick around, Ed, and we'll keep talking about this. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up, churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank, fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty except for one man, still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up, and long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance. He's going.
You know, so do we still have Ed? Are you still here, Ed?
Still here. Yes, I am.
Okay, well, you know, it's such a layered discussion. I mean, if we can be honest, if we can just be open and honest, the way that this stuff works in the public eye, people don't really realize. Usually, you know, I mean, I go back to Trevor Aronson's TED Talk, 2015 TED Talk, which is titled "How This FBI Strategy Is Actually Creating U.S.-Based Terrorists." And he said, after years of research, I've come to the conclusion that the FBI is better at creating terrorists than they are at catching them. And they really are. And, you know, we've talked recently about how local law enforcement adopts the same tactics. You know, I mentioned last week the story. I was in Portland when they were doing protests, and there was a story recently about how it's come to light that Portland police were actually working with agents provocateur in these protest groups in the same sort of COINTELPRO fashion that the FBI will suborn low-level criminals to make them informants, to infiltrate groups and try to, you know, create terrorists, as Trevor Aronson says. And people don't realize this sort of thing is going on, which is why I've said recently we need to at least read Machiavelli at a cursory level to understand things like this really do happen. And so you look at the psyops that are being conducted around what you're talking about, and the way that we just happen to have some convenient, you know, we've had a rash of shootings recently involving law enforcement in particular. And last month, I believe Congressman Mike Thompson was, you know, talking about since the shooting at Sandy Hook, the Gun Violence Prevention Task Force has been fighting for a chance to pass legislation that will help save lives. And so we always get the convenient coincidental incidents, high profile strategy of tension incidents around this time. And we've had the Parkland folks down in your neighborhood paraded before the media, obviously. And
you know,
I don't,
nobody seems to care about the inner cities where on any given weekend in Chicago or
right,
whether it's
right.
New York.
And
but
why?
When it comes to, well, yeah, that's a good question, because it doesn't matter. It's not high profile. But
yeah.
If somebody kills five white people at a school, oh my God, we have to ban all weapons and Americans can only hunt now with bows and arrows. It just doesn't make sense. I don't want to wind up like England where they're actually thinking about banning knives. That's how bad it's gotten.
It's absurd.
And in this country, I feel sorry for the next generation coming up, those born after 9/11.
Well, you know, yeah. Let's keep talking about it. Stick around, folks. Second hour coming up right after the short break. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-7.